Good afternoon, everyone. I love public health, but I have a friend who's from Wisconsin, and now we're going to make a connection. So just sitting in here, realize there's yet another connection to make, and which is, it's so great to be here. Thank you for all coming. It's great to see so many faces that work with us and have worked with us. And so what I want to spend some time today is talking about the work that we're doing in Los Angeles County and trying to take a different look or how to really see if programs are making a difference in the community. As someone who's been doing intervention research for 3 decades, where so much of our work has really focused on here's an intervention, did it change something? Realizing that things are really pretty complicated and they seem to be getting more complicated. So that's a bit of the story I want to tell today. As you can see, we're a cast of characters, a cast of thousands and characters, and some of them are here today. But it's, again, part of the story that there's so many people involved in any type of work. And so our work is particularly focused on obesity and obesity among the preschool-aged children in Los Angeles County. And I have no disclosures. I'm hoping one day I will have some financial disclosures, but I don't know if that will ever happen. And as you can see, that our collaborators include just not a bunch of people from UCLA across multiple departments, but folks from WIC, which in Los Angeles County we have one of the largest, if not largest, local public health WIC agencies, the Department of Public Health, colleagues at Berkeley and colleagues at University of Washington, as well as colleagues at Samuel Center. We also have colleagues from First Five. For those of you not from California, First Five are a number of organizations created with tobacco tax money to be used for health issues related to young children. And then also California Food Policy Advocates. As we all know, that in response to a number of studies really documenting that the obesity rates had just increased and were continuing to increase, public health and other groups started launching a number of initiatives trying to really understand it, but then there became particularly not just initiatives focusing on individuals, but some our place-based initiative, such as healthy eating, active communities, and healthy eating and active living. So that really a lot started taking off in the early 90s around this. In Los Angeles, not surprising, an awful lot started taking off. For those of you not having been to Los Angeles, you might not know that the county itself has a greater population than 42 of the U.S. states. And so it's a big place with lots of people and incredible diversity. And starting in early 2000, we really did see some huge efforts trying to deal with the issue of obesity in L.A., including a new WIC pack food packaging state. The California Endowment put a lot of money into the Healthy Eating Active Communities. Kaiser Permanente started doing a lot of work. State level, Project Lean, trying to address issues at the school level, then local policies. First Five started doing work trying to promote breastfeeding and healthy eating. And then not so far long ago, the CDC's transformation grants in Los Angeles. So this is just a quick snapshot of some of the stuff going on, realizing that there's a whole lot of other stuff going on as well. So my colleague, Mei Wang, and I, and with our other colleagues, put together a proposal to try to really kind of step back and take a look what is really going on at the community level, what's going on at the neighborhood level to impact obesity rates among preschool kids in L.A. County, because in looking at some of the data in some communities, during the last 10 years, it went up. Some communities, it went down. Some communities, it stayed the same. And trying to understand why that was happening during the same period. So in our large study, I'm just going to talk about a small piece of it today. We are, first of all, trying to figure out what's been going on. That may seem like it. Do you think that's easy? No, it's not. Okay, good. It's really hard. And the more I learn, the more confused I am. And then we're trying to figure out, can we determine if there's been a dose, and I'm going to come back around to that in a minute, of what actually has been going on, how much stuff has been going on. And then we're going to take, because we have great outcome data, BMI of preschool kids over the last 10 years, and if we can figure out dosage, do some very high-level novel statistical modeling using agent-based modeling, which I'm learning. Do not ask me questions about that. I am learning and being dragged along the way to learn to try to figure this out and really understand how multiple, what the multiple interventions and efforts and policies and programs, what mix seems to have had the greatest impact. Okay, we love showing this. This is just explaining obesity. You got it? Okay. It's not A to B and 1 to 3 and all that. Okay. So, again, with system science, and I'll give you a reference at the end. My colleague Mei Wang is doing a poster session tomorrow afternoon going into detail about some of the statistical approaches we'll be using. But it really does give this opportunity to put a lot into the mix at the same time and modify it and see really what's happening. So it's really interesting, and the more we talk about it in the community, whether with practitioners, community members, parents, our colleagues, people kind of really understand this notion that everything's so complicated that we really should be thinking about it all at the same time. And with system science, it's going to enable us to at least think about more of it. Okay. So we are going to have enough data probably for the rest of my life. Right? It probably already exists already, right? We don't have to collect anymore, and that scares me a little bit. But we're really fortunate because with our colleagues at WIC have been collecting really great BMI data and other data for the last 10-plus years, and it's been validated as really strong data. And so we have so much outcome data on preschool-age kids, which is really phenomenal because a lot of the system science work being done today, that's the missing piece, is the outcome data. We have that, so we're going to be able to really try some interesting things there. Then we're also trying to, and I'm going to come back to this a little more, figure out what is actually going on to figure out what's going on in LA County, and we call this work group one, which is really trying to get at this dosage, and then we're going to be collecting a lot of contextual data from the census, et cetera. Okay, so this notion of dose. First time I started thinking about it, it's pretty straightforward. Well, like everything else, the more you get into it, the more you realize it's not so straightforward, and it's confusing, and the language itself is even confusing. And different groups are using it differently, and so I just really want to point that out, that some people look at dose delivered versus dose received. Exposure can mean one thing in one field, and in another field it can mean reach. And so always keep that in mind when you're looking at the literature, dosage, delivered, received, exposure, all of that, because it does seem to be a moving target there. We're trying to focus on what others have been calling population dose, which is really trying to come up with a number that is looking at reach, or how many people have actually gotten it. So not just exposed, but something happened where there's been an uptake, if I can use that word, and then multiplying that by the effect size and trying to figure that out. So that's our ultimate goal. Okay, so how do you do that when so much is going on in a community? Well, we've modeled our work on some prior work that had been done from the ASSIST program, which is a tobacco program. And basically what they did in the ASSIST program was try to come up with a dosage of tobacco cessation, tobacco efforts at a state level, not a local community level, and so that they could actually see if having a different dosage of tobacco activities made a difference in cessation, prevalence rates, et cetera. And they actually came up with three domains, not three constructs, with multiple domains within that. And they tried to capture dose within these domains as the amount of resources going into a state, the capacity of the people doing the work, and then the actual efforts, which would equal primarily programs and policies. And so what we're mirroring this a bit, and so how they approached their work was they first of all identified the key elements that seem to have an impact in cessation and prevention of tobacco, brought together an expert panel, and then came up with some domains and then rated the domains. You can see coming up with 27 domains is completely unwieldy, and this is our concern as well. And then they were able to, with kind of examining it for how strong the science was about it, parsimony, and just the feasibility of collecting data, that's something we think about all the time, they were able to come up to these three, those three domains. So what we're doing is something similar in that we've created two work groups. And the first work group has completed its work, and the idea, the primary aim of the first work group was to come up with the domains and the constructs within those domains. And once we completed that, we've turned it over to our second work group, which is now in the process in coming up with a methodology for collecting information about those constructs. So, and then to figure out how to actually determine the number for the dosage. Okay, so that's where we are right now. And so we're in year two, and we should start collecting our data about that will go into the actual dosage right now. And then once we have that information, we'll be able to not only share with others in the community what's been going on, but then we'll be able to start applying some of the system science and agent-based modeling. So we came together. We first of all identified the key elements, just like Project Assist did, in figuring out what were some of the key programs or key issues related to pediatric or preschool age obesity. Brought an expert panel together and spent quite a bit of time talking about these things and figuring out what seems to make the most sense. And then we went out into the community and conducted a number of key informants with people who've been on the ground over the last 10 plus years working in the field of young children obesity. Let's see. So you, like anything, you can see we've done a lot so far. I'm not going to go through that. But you can see these are the five domains that we've come up with. And I think as you look at this, you'd probably say, well, of course. They all seem really logical, and I think that's meaningful that there's sort of probably as you're looking at this, some face validity in what we found. But it actually took us some time to get there, and you can see that the five main domains we currently have, and we're expecting as we go out there and start collecting data on these and start doing analysis about which seems to be important and not, this is going to be different, so it will be dynamic. The first domain is physical resources. So what is it? Physical resources in a community that a preschool child and family could be somehow have exposed to or have some relationship with, such as parks and schools. Social resources, like there exists good social ties, good community-based organizations that are trying to impact childhood obesity. And one of the big challenges has been not all of these things are specifically targeted toward obesity, right? Most parks aren't created because we want kids to not be overweight. They're created because we want parks, okay? And then capacity development. This one, we're struggling with this, and I think as we go through on this, we're going to learn a lot about this, is what is going on in the community from an agency or a community perspective to develop the capacity to deal with a health issue, Okay, whether it's having the capacity to garner resources, having the capacity to develop interventions, having the capacity to even evaluate interventions. And then the fourth category is probably the most obvious, is identifying programs and policies in particular that would address obesity. And then the last is issues related to context, such as neighborhood characteristics, poverty, immigration, things like that. Okay. So just real quickly, with our interview guide, we took out various versions of those domains and constructs and tried to get our key informants' feedback on this and asking them, basically, what do you think? Does this make sense? Do you have any suggestions? And so for all of those on that table, we went through this with key informants. They were incredibly generous with their time and very patient because, as you can imagine, looking at all of this at one time in one sitting could be a little tedious. Okay. Here's just a list of the key informants. We tried to talk to a variety of people, and not just health people, but people from Head Start and the Restaurant Association, et cetera. Okay. So I was chairing Work Group 1. I was happy to pass that on to Work Group 2. Dr. Wang is here, who's chairing Work Group 2. So now, Work Group 2, we're in the process of coming up with an instrument to go out there and collect the information to do further work on that. As I said, I want to remind everyone that Dr. Wang is doing a poster session tomorrow at 2:30, in which she'll talk more, or in her poster, goes into more detail about system science. Okay, great. I did well on time. Good.